Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lords of Limited. My name is Ben Warney, and joining me on the line, as always, Mr. Ethan Quintorius Combo Sacks. Ethan, it's the eve of the Arena Champs. How you feeling?
I feel fine.
You feel fine? Just feel not invested. Cool as a cucumber, huh?
It's not that I'm not invested. I'm just trying to, like, take the opposite approach as I did for the PT, and maybe I'll find that swinging the pendulum in the opposite direction also doesn't work for me. But, you know, just like, I really feel like I tried to be like, look, I put in the work, and then this week I just kind of chilled. And like, I picked my deck, we'll see how it goes. I put in the reps, like, not trying to like beat the thing to death, not trying to like play out a league on MTGO the night before the PT for no reason.
So you're not testing versus Rakdos Vamps. It's 50% of the field.
It was also 50% of the ladder. So I've had plenty of practice against the deck for sure. That's wild. I mean, so we are recording on Friday night because I have Arena Champs this weekend. So you probably should have introduced me as World's Competitor, Ethan Sacks.
Oh, and just because, in hopes of manifesting it?
Yeah, I don't know about hopes. I think it's just, you know, we're just going to call it like we see it. We just got a 3-0 the draft. That should be easy peasy, no problem. You know what I was thinking about was that, so there's really, I mean, other than, you know, the rules of the tournament, like, what's stopping me from having you like get on a Google Hangouts call during the draft and like watch me and give me your feedback, except that you tried your hardest to derail my draft when I had you on stream earlier this week, that I think you're fired, sir. I don't want you in my ear.
Yeah, that would be way too many cooks in the kitchen. But also, I'm proud of you for getting the nonsense out of your system. I saw that you were doing the chaos draft, the Ravnica chaos draft, double ley line, chromatic lantern.
Yes, that deck was. I was like, every time I played, like, got ley line on turn zero, and I had the thing I was talking about from the bucket list last week. I had the Case of the Shattered Pact, got to solve that on turn two multiple times with this deck.
I also got that out of my system during spring break this week.
And just cast, like, I had three different CCDD cards from Guilds of Ravnica and Ravnica Allegiance. And every time I resolved them, I just thought, how tilted would Ben be if he was on the other side of the table? He'd be so mad. And it brought me
super tilted.
Buddy, how excited are you for this new set? I'm very excited.
Yeehaw, partner. Let's go.
There it is. I mean, I really like Murders at Karlov Manor. I'm sad to see it go, but I am like, I finally, you know, over the past couple of days was really digging into the spoiler. And I just think, like, the mechanics for the set look super sweet. I'm very excited to talk to you about it. You and I haven't really discussed any of the cards yet. So excited to pick your brain. We've got a list a mile long for greater garbage at the end of the episode. It's going to be a good one.
Well, and it's a Dave Humphrey set. You know it's going to be a banger. Like, he's the lead design. He has not missed. It's got to be good.
That's true. Shout out to Dave Humphreys. So let's get some housekeeping stuff out of the way, and we're going to dive into talking about as many of these previews as we can get our hands on. First things first is the Patreon page, patreon.com/lordsoflimited, is where folks can go to give back to the show if they so choose. The show will always be free. But if you've been thinking about it, if you're on the fence, you're like, they always talk about the Patreon. Sometimes maybe I skip over this part of the podcast. Sometimes I don't, whatever. Like, but I'm curious about the Patreon. Look, get in on the Patreon now so you can get on the Discord now for new set season. This is the time. It is just hopping and popping. I know we talk about this a lot, that the fire emoji is what we have in our Discord for when channels are active, if there's like something that's been typed there in the past, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes. And just the preview channel is just on fire. And it's so fun to get to pop in and see, like, what are people talking about? Like, what do folks in our community think of various cards? I really love that.
Yeah, it's been a blast having this week land on my spring break, because for the first time ever, I was finally able to watch the thing on Twitch. I never get to do that. So I was able to watch it, and I was the person putting the card images in the previews thing, because people always do that for me, and that's always my favorite channel. Like, I can just scroll up and see what I missed after the school day. Yeah, it was really cool to be able to see that during spring break this week.
Yeah, so the Discord is just a fantastic community of like-minded, limited individuals, and there's other great perks as you move up the reward tier rankings on Patreon. So if any or all of that sounds of interest to you, go and check it out. And we want to shout out our new patrons the first week that they join, and this week we are welcoming Justin. Thank you. We really appreciate your support.
Solo shout out. Justin picked a good week.
Good week, Getting Justin.
All the attention.
Love to see it. All right, Ben. I feel like we need to have some cowboy hats on or something. A lot of the content I've been seeing, people are really leaning in, got a little straw in their mouth, you know, chewing on it on the side. Are we going to get a little accent from you this week? What do you think?
I'm kind of into it. Howdy, partner. Well, okay. The West theme does it for me. I'm here for it.
Great. Well, let's get into Outlaws of Thunder Junction with our first mechanic, or not mechanic, but just sort of like a types matter, is outlaw is a keyword that refers to one or more of the following creature types. We have assassins, mercenaries, pirates, rogues, and warlocks. So what's an example card here?
We've got cards that are going to care about the outlaw type, and the first one is Rakish Crew. 2 and a black for an enchantment. When it ETBs, you make a 1/1 red mercenary creature token with tap. Target creature you control gets +1/+0 until end of turn. Activate only as a sorcery. You're going to see mercenary tokens running around all over Thunder Junction, and the text on Rakish Crew says whenever an outlaw you control dies, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. Bastion of Remembrance, hello.
Yeah, very excited about this as a possible build around. Something to think about. Do we want to try and throw out an acronym? Maybe RAMP, WRAMP, to remember these by. I feel like you're going to want something in your head to shortcut the warlocks, rogues, assassins, mercenaries, pirates. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. See if you like it. If it takes off, remember where you heard it. If you hate it, then you'll just forget it. No big deal.
I like it. I just had to go through it for a second because they're printed in the other order on the reminder text.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
Next up, we've got committing a crime. So you're going to commit a crime as you cast a spell, activate an ability, or put a triggered ability on the stack that targets one or more of the following. An opponent, a spell or ability an opponent controls, a permanent an opponent controls, or a card in an opponent's graveyard. So basically, touching your opponent's stuff or them is committing a crime.
Yeah. So for example, here we have Rattleback Apothecary, 2 and a black for a 3/2 Gorgon Warlock, uncommon. It's a 3/2 with Death Touch. Whenever you commit a crime, target creature you control gains your choice of Menace or Lifelink until end of turn. And the reminder text on committing a crime on this card says targeting opponents, anything they control and or cards in their graveyards is a crime. So that's another way to sort of shortcut it for you. But yeah, just crossing over that side of the red zone on the battlefield in any way is going to do it. I was noticing there's a 1 and a black 2/2 lifelink. When it ETBs, you mill target opponent. And I was like, oh, that's committing a crime right there. So like there's little cheeky ways to do it as well.
Pacifism, committing a crime.
Very much so. In more ways than one, if it's not good and limited. Next up, we have Spree, a new keyword found on modal cards that tells you to choose one or more additional costs.
Our example card here is Getaway Glamour. This is white for an instant, and it's got Spree, so you choose one or more additional costs. So if you pay +1, you exile target non-token creature, return it to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step, or you can pay +2 to destroy target creature if no other creature has greater power. So essentially, you're probably going to want to use the 2 and a white mode first, which is destroy target creature if another creature has greater power. But let's say you want to kill a creature that has potentially the second largest power. You could, for example, use both Spree abilities to blink that one with the greatest power and then still hit the one that you're trying to hit.
Yeah. Yeah. The Spree is awesome. I'm going to jump ahead in our show notes because I want to talk about these two things kind of in tandem to get to plot, which is a new keyword that allows you to pay a cost at sorcery speed to exile a card from your hand to plot it, and then on a future turn, you can cast the plotted card from exile without paying its mana cost. And this is exiled face up, so it's like Foretell, basically, except that it's face up and not face down. So our example card here is Plan the Heist, 2 blue-blue for a sorcery. Surveil 3 if you have no cards in hand, then draw 3 cards, and you can plot it for 3 and a blue. So the same mana value for plotting and casting, single blue pip if you want to plot it, and then you can do it, you know, on turn 4 and then, you know, be able to cast it for 0 later on. This card is not, I think, a great example of a card maybe you have different thoughts about something that like feels worth plotting or not, but plotting and Spree make me think that this is going to be sequencing the format. It's just going to be all about like, how am I spending my mana and on what turns and to do what? And what is the like, okay, if I plot this turn and I anticipate what you do, then the following turn I can do X and Y. Like, I'm very excited for plot as a mechanic.
Yeah, I think of the two, from what I've seen of the cards in the format, plot seems by far the more important mechanic than Spree because it ties into so many of the limited archetypes. There's blue-red that's going to care about double spelling.
Right.
And plot sets that up so easily. You plot on one turn, and the next turn you cast that card for free. Like, well, how you use your mana is just going to be, I think, a key part of the format, but plot seems, I've seen Scuttle in the Lord's Limited Discard, like, are you really gonna have time to plot? Like, can you afford to take turn three off? Like,
yes.
Plot seems busted to me. Like, I am excited to be plotting, and maybe that's just naively optimistic of me, but it looks really powerful.
No, I think, like, you know, it's hard for me not to think about it because I just, like, had this in that double leyline deck you were talking about, but like there were times where I didn't have leyline on turn zero, and so there were spots where I was like, okay, I'm gonna take this turn off effectively to get leyline in play, and then next turn I'm gonna cast like two CCDD cards. And so it's the same thing, like you can make up a lot of that tempo loss if you're planning things out correctly.
Yes, and I think there are a lot of very powerful plot cards that will allow you to catch back up.
I agree.
It's kind of like the Neo Sagas. Like, everybody was slow right. on yes, those. Like, we were comparison. Like, can we afford? Like, yes, you can afford. When your card's broken, you can afford to have it come in two turns after you pay for it.
Yeah. Well, and this might be blowing it, but it's a card I wanted to talk about a little later on, but it sounds like we might be lockstep on it. So Visage Bandit is an example. 3 and a blue for a 2/2. Shapeshifter Rogue. You can have it enter the battlefield as a copy of a creature you control, except it's a Shapeshifter Rogue in addition to its other types. And it has plot for 2 and a blue. Normally, these effects are bad. Like, you usually get them for about 3 mana, clone something you control. Not a very desirable effect in Limited often. This is, in my mind, a very strong plot card. Like, the idea of plot on turn 3, play a thing on turn 4, clone it, something like that, sounds insane to me. Like, one of the downfalls of the 3-mana effects of this card is that, like, what are you doing? You're cloning your 2-drop on curve? No. So then you think about it like a 6-drop, and are you double spelling? Do you have something good? Like, this solves a lot of those problems because it lets you pay that mana on 3 and then reap the rewards for free later on.
Yeah, I like this card. I'm not maybe quite as high on it as you. Its value is going to depend on how good your other cards are, specifically your 4-drops, I think. Mm-hmm. But certainly the potential is there, and the potential for plot, definitely there.
Yeah, for sure.
Next up, we've got Mounts and Saddle as far as new mechanics go. So Mount is a new creature type where you're going to find the new ability Saddle. And Saddle is an activated ability that you activate at sorcery speed by tapping any number of untapped creatures you control other than the Mount, with power equal to or greater than the Saddle number. So it's like Crew, except it's on a creature that's already functionally able to attack and block, but you have to do it at sorcery speed. So we've got Trained Arynx here. What's going on?
Trained Arynx is 1 and a white for a 3/1. When it attacks while saddled, it gains first strike until end of turn, and you scry 1. And it has Saddle 2. Again, tap any number of other creatures you control with total power 2 or more. This Mount becomes Saddle until end of turn. Saddle only as a sorcery. This is like not a complicated mechanic to wrap your head around, but it is such a mouthful on the card.
Yeah,
it's a lot, but not hard to under, like, especially when you think about it, like crewing effectively. Or what was the mechanic from DMU where you
enlist?
It's like enlist, but you can enlist things that have summoning sickness.
Yeah, it just seems much cleaner than both of them somehow at the same time to me. All of the mechanics to me, I was just like, yeah. I guess they all seemed very clean to me, which I like.
I agree. And lastly, we have Mercenary Tokens. We sort of touched on this a little bit with the Outlaws. Mercenary Tokens are 1/1 mercenaries that have tap. Target creature you control gets +1/+0 until end of turn. Activate only as a sorcery. Sort of like the white 1-drop that we love, Traveling Minister, right? From, what was that format? Was that, that was Vow, I think. That gained you a life, obviously, so better, but... This is a beautiful rectangle in the world of cards that make rectangles.
Yes, for sure.
Underwear drawers are like the Wild West of wardrobes. And with Outlaws of Thunder Junction right around the corner, the comparison couldn't be more apt.
There's no rhyme or reason to them. Anything goes. You've got pairs from 3 birthdays and 2 Christmases ago.
Pairs from 5 different brands with 5 different fits. When you open that drawer every morning, you have no idea what to expect. It's like the bulk rare bin at your LGS.
Now that I've felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies, my other pairs have got to go, because MeUndies is all I reach for.
This seriously is the most comfortable underwear I've ever worn. The fabric is soft, breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all day wear.
MeUndies has something for everyone, from all black classics to fun, expressive print, ranging from sizes from extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
Plus, they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers. Good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/LOL.
That's MeUndies.com/LOL for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Should we get to our previews that we got to drop today?
Yes, please.
We also haven't talked about these. So we've got, first up, Omen Port Vigilante, one and a white for a 2/2 human mercenary at uncommon, has double strike as long as you've committed a crime this turn.
That's fine.
Yeah, I feel
not
fine
like
about
super
this.
Jazzed about that card. We should also say thank you to Wizards of the Coast for our free preview cards.
Thank you very much.
Next, we've got Gila Courser. This is 2 and a red for a 4/2 lizard mount. Whenever it attacks while saddled, you exile the top card of your library. Until the end of your next turn, you may play that card, and it's got saddle 1. It's an uncommon. This card is a banger.
Yeah, one, we haven't gotten to it, but there is a power 4 or greater matters theme in red-green. I'm always quite dubious of that, but looks like it might be something this time around. And this card, I think, is a piece of that puzzle, but also just a piece of probably most red decks puzzles, would be my guess. And then you have to help me not put this card in my deck. It's Map the Frontier, 3 and a green for a sorcery. Search your library for up to 2 basic land cards and or desert cards. Put them onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle. So the deserts this time around, these are the dual lands are deserts. The common duels are, they're in the land slot, I should say. Dual lands. And when they enter the battlefield, they enter the battlefield tapped, but they deal a damage to your opponent. You can build your own shock with Map the Frontier.
Double crime as well.
Double crime. Oh my gosh. Double jeopardy. So good. Yeah, I know, like, this is the kind of card I need to give an F, but I will definitely cast this in the lifetime of this format.
So before we get into the draft archetypes and other cards, I want to talk a little bit about what you're going to find in the boosters. So one of the most important things is those duels you mentioned, the ETB tap duels that ping. There's a dedicated land slot, and 50% of the time, that's going to be a common dual land. So you're going to see those fairly frequently, but I imagine they will be fairly high picks, certainly if you're interested in committing crimes. Mm. And the other thing to know going into boosters is that we've got another bonus sheet this time around, which is labeled OTP, Outlaws of Thunder Punction, if you were following along in the Lords of Limited Discord. Yeah. Shout out to all those of you who were there. But this is a bonus sheet of 65 cards that are all going to be committing a crime.
But it's actually OTP stands for off the press, right? Because it's like,
is that what it?
Yeah, because
so
it's like,
I didn't know what it stood for. That's what I wanted to know.
It's like a wanted sheet. That's like the theme of all those cards.
That would have been very helpful rather than you sarcastically typing Outlaws of Thunder Punction.
I was helping myself be amused. So that was good.
So there's a bonus sheet. 65 cards on that bonus sheet. They're all going to be committing crimes.
Yeah, that is useful. And if you want the full, like, micro minutia breakdown of this, go to mtgscribe.com. Shout out to Mike Proventure. Like, that is just such a helpful resource. If you haven't already bookmarked mtgscribe in your browser, highly recommend doing so, because that's the only thing I check for. Like, I after our conversation last week, I was thinking about, I was like, you know what? I think I am going to gear up and play some paper magic this year. I think I'm going to do it. The RC after the Pioneer season is in DC. I could make that work. And then I saw that SCG had a team constructed event first weekend of May. But thanks to MGG Scribe, I learned that that's also the weekend of the Arena Open. So I was like, well, that'll satisfy my competitive magic itch for that weekend. So I won't travel and play constructed. But yeah, MGG Scribe, great. Let's get into these draft archetypes. First up, we have blue-white, which is no spells cast during your turn, which is like basically plot, right? We talked about that a little bit with plot overlapping with a bunch of mechanics. This is clearly where it's first up going to be. What do we got as a signpost here?
We've got Wrangler of the Damned, 3 white-blue for a 1/4 uncommon human soldier with flash. The beginning of your end step, if you haven't cast a spell from your hand this turn, create a 2/2 white spirit creature token with flying.
Oh boy, I'm very tempted by this card.
No, this card's understated. It's too expensive. This is also the only color pair we only have one of the gold uncommons for. All the rest of them we know both gold uncommons.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so what's the play pattern with this? Is that ideally, because this is the payoffs for this, as we'll get to a little later, aren't only in like just white or blue. We've seen, like, as we talked about when we chatted about the card file, like what they're trying to do with commons and uncommons, they're sprinkling other like sort of secret gold cards throughout. So we have other payoffs. The fact that this has flash means it will be able to trigger, like you'll be able to pass, maybe get some bonuses already from stuff that was cheaper, cast this on your opponent's end step, untap, pass, maybe you're plotting that turn, get a 2/2.
That's a lot of hoops to jump through this, for a 2/2
with flying. I can't let you dismiss this card. This card is better than that, I think.
I would be in for it if it was like at the beginning of your opponent's end step, like when you flashed it in the first time around, if you got the bird. You have to like stick this to the battlefield and then wait till the end of your next turn to get a 2/2 flyer. There's just cards that do way better things than this on rate in the format that have been previewed already.
All right. Maybe you're right. Okay.
Next up, we've got blue black, which is Crime Control. I know you're excited about this one. First up,
oh my
we've got
God.
Intimidation Campaign. It's back. One blue black. It's not back. A variant of it is back. This is one blue black for an uncommon enchantment. When it ETBs, each opponent loses one life, you gain one life, and you draw a card. Whenever you commit a crime, you can return Intimidation Campaign to its owner's hand. For those of you who weren't around, this is a callback to Disinformation Campaign.
And Dovin's Acuity.
Yeah.
The problem with this, so like Disinformation Campaign came out, we thought it was too slow. It wasn't. It was like a linchpin of one of the best archetypes in Guilds of Ravnica. Then RNA got previewed. Dovin's Acuity was the opposite of that. We were like, well, that's cute, but that's worse than Disinformation Campaign. It wasn't. Dovin's Acuity was better than Disinformation Campaign. It was like one of the coolest decks in that format. So like the jig is up. Like people are going to know that this card is sweet. And committing a crime does like seems easier than like Surveil was the way to return Disinformation Campaign. And casting an instant at sorcery speed was the way to get Acuity back to your hand. Seems easier than both of those.
For sure, because this is going in a control deck, and control decks only want to mess with their opponent's stuff.
Yeah, this card seems like a banger. The other signpost we have is Lazav, Familiar Stranger. One blue black for a 1/4 shapeshifter. Whenever you commit a crime, put a +1/+1 counter on Lazav. Then you may exile a card from a graveyard. If a creature card was exiled this way, you may have Lazav become a copy of that card until end of turn. This ability triggers only once each turn.
Yeah, I agree. It's fine. Intimidation Campaign is the one that you really want to get you into blue-black.
Yeah. Red-black is Outlaw Tipal / some crime overlap. First up, we have At Knife Point, which is one black-red for an enchantment. As long as it's your turn, outlaws you control have first strike. Remember that ramp. Warlocks, rogues, assassins, mercenaries, pirates. Whenever you commit a crime, create a 1/1 red mercenary creature token. Whoa. That's not limited to once each turn.
This ability triggers only once each turn. You got to read to the end of the card, baby.
Oh, I thought that was all the text explaining mercenaries. Okay, that's fine. How many crimes can you commit in a turn? Yeah, I'm in for this.
You're in. Just that easy, huh?
I mean, I think it just like just the potential to poop out mercenaries at a reliable rate. That seems sweet to me. I mean, it's probably like not great because it's a 3-mana do nothing, but I'm into it.
Well, but it essentially onto all your removal or all your whatever tacks on make a 1/1 thing, which is really powerful.
Yeah,
I think I'm kind of with you. I'm in for At Knife Point. Next, we've got Vile Smasher Gleeful Grenadier. This is black red for an uncommon 3/2 goblin mercenary. Whenever another outlaw enters the battlefield under your control, Vile Smasher deals 1 damage to target opponent, which is then going to commit a crime.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, this is just a great rate. Like 2-mana 3/2, whenever another outlaw ETBs, deal a damage to an opponent. It's very aggressive.
Yeah, cards, excellent. And just the repeated crime triggering fairly easily is also, I assume, going to be excellent.
All right, power 4 or greater. Is this going to be good?
I hope so. We've got Jolene, Plundering Pugilist. This is 1 red-green for a 4/2 uncommon for a human mercenary. It says whenever you attack with one or more creatures with power 4 or greater, create a treasure token, and you can pay 1 red, sacrifice a treasure, to have this deal 1 damage to any target.
I'm interested. We haven't seen a shock yet, right? Because it's now the second 3-mana 4/2 that we've seen. Like, I'm curious to see what the red and black cheap removal is going to be.
Yeah, we have not seen a shock yet. That is correct.
Okay, interesting. The other red-green signpost is Cactus Folk Sure Shot. 2 red-green for a 4-4 with reach and ward 2. At the beginning of combat on your turn, other creatures you control with power 4 or greater gain trample and haste until end of turn. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, that card's good. I think the archetype looks, I mean, fingers crossed, it looks like it's going to be functional. Certainly between our preview, Jolene, this uncommon, like you're getting good rate 4 power creatures.
But so then I feel like it's going to be like a lot of these, like a lot of times aggressive decks with their whatever, you know, this is what our archetype does. You often are just like, yeah, but I just want the good cards. I'm not trying to like build any kind of engine. Like you're not putting bad 4 power creatures in your deck to make the 4 power matters thing work. You're just trying to build a good deck.
Right, but it does look like they've just made
the pieces.
Power 4 greater creatures, which is why I think it looks like maybe the archetype's going to work this time. Sweet.
All right, green white is next. That's mounts, saddles, and vehicles. We've got Miriam.
Oh my.
Miriam Herd Whisperer is green white for a 3-2. As long as it's your turn, mounts and vehicles you control have hexproof. And whenever a mount or vehicle you control attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on it. Okay, that's great.
Yeah, very good rate. And next we've got Congregation Griff. 1 green white for a 1-4 flying lifelink. Whenever this attacks while saddled, it gets +X/+X until end of turn, where X is the number of mounts you control. And it has saddle 3.
Hello.
Yeah.
Flying lifelink is, that's quite a combo.
Quite a combo. Yeah, I agree. If you're trying to make green white, which ostensibly looks to be a clunky archetype at face value, being like mounts and saddle, as a limited player, I'd be like, I don't know about that. Like these two gold uncommons have me interested. I mean, we saw that with Murders at Karlov Manor. See, I just did it. I forgot it.
I don't know why it's so hard.
But we saw that with blue green, right? Like these uncommons here remind me of like blue green's uncommon in MKM. Like the uncommons were so good on rate that it just pushed the archetype to the forefront. And I could see that being the case here with green white.
Yeah, that's a great shout. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery doing these days, Ethan?
I'm keeping it fairly charged. Being social is extremely important to me, especially since I can feel cooped up with Jonah all day. It's important for me to make time with my friends in the evenings and weekends.
That's good to hear. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and how we want to recharge, whether that's being around people or being in need of some alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
I've had some really interesting discussions in therapy recently around the idea of anxiety and how I deal with it, trying to remove the need to fix a problem to escape whatever is causing that feeling, and instead treat that feeling of anxiety as information to learn from.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/lords today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lords. And now back to the show. Next up, we have black, white. Oh my God. Are there two more beautiful words in the English language than sacrifice, value?
Well, there are two beautiful cards here as well. They're both bangers.
Ruthless Lawbringers, 1 white black for a 3-2 vampire assassin. When it enters the battlefield, you can sacrifice another creature. When you do, destroy target non-land permanent. Is there fodder here?
Mercenaries, baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's mercenaries. Okay, nice.
But if you need them, Baron Bertram Greywater is going to provide them. This is the other black-white uncommon. It's 2 white-black for a 3-4 vampire noble. Whenever one or more tokens enter the battlefield under your control, create a 1-1 black vampire rogue creature token with lifelink. This ability triggers only once each turn, and you can pay 1 and a black to sacrifice another creature or artifact to draw a card.
Ooh, this also feels like eminently splashable in a world of treasure tokens. Like,
yeah, certainly you could see some Mardu soup.
Yeah.
It's going to be doing good things with those red-black outlaws that are pooping out mercenaries.
Oh my gosh.
There's a lot going on there.
I'm very excited. I bet you're excited for blue-red cast 2 spells per turn. What's going on there?
First up, we've got Crown Violent Cacophony. This is 2 blue-red for a 2-3 flying zombie horror. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, put a +1/+1 counter on Crom and draw a card.
I was like, until I saw draw a card, I was like, isn't this just that like stupid Drake from War of the Spark? Like, oh, nope, you draw a card. Okay. It's pretty good.
Well, not only that, and normally I'd be like, eh, like, it's a little understated for four mana, but, like, plot on turn three into this is so juiced. Like, yeah. Just absolutely absurd.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. The other card we have previewed is Slick Sequence, blue-red for an instant, deals two damage to any target. If you've cast another spell this turn, draw a card. Plot, baby.
Plot. Yeah, Prophetic Shock looking real good. That takes us on to green-black, which is graveyard stuff, as per usual. Except green-black has, and we'll get to it in the build arounds, has a really cool build around. First uncommon here is Badlands Revival. This is 3 black-green for a sorcery. Return up to 1 target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. Return up to 1 target permanent card from your graveyard to your hand.
Interesting. Is that... I guess that can just be 2 creatures.
Could just be 2 creatures, yeah. But one of them goes straight to the battlefield. This card's pushed. Normally you'd be paying 5 mana to put something from your graveyard to the battlefield, and you get an extra card on top of that back to your hand.
Right. The other card is Honest Rutstein, 1 black-green for a 3/2. When it enters the battlefield, return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand, and creature spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. Wow.
Gravedigger, eat your heart out.
My goodness, yeah. Card's great.
Yeah, the card is absurd. The fact that it's going to make your creature spells cost 1 less to cast is going to make it so much easier to double spell. Like, so much of the time you just get choked up on not being able to deploy everything in these types of decks. And Honest Rutstein frees that up in a hurry. It moves us on to Red White, which is Mercenary Aggro. We've got some banger uncommons here as well. First up is Urtha Joe Frontier Mentor. This is 2 red-white for a 2/4. When ETBs, make a 1/1 mercenary. And whenever you activate an ability that targets a creature or player, copy that ability. You may choose new targets for the copy.
So anytime you activate, so now all your mercenaries tap for +2/+0,
which is going to be aggressive as all get out.
Holy cow. The other one is Form a Posse. It's X red white for a sorcery, and you make X 1/1 red mercenary creature tokens.
The card's also just absurd. Fourth Earlingus at uncommon, no big deal.
Okay, let's just relax. this is not that good.
Form a Posse?
Well, how much do you have to, like, 4 mana for 2 mercenaries cannot be good.
5, 6?
That's what I'm talking about.
I like this card.
You shouldn't. I think you should not. I think you should like this card at least less.
Oh, that's sad. I was pretty hyped on it.
But Urtha Joe is awesome.
Urtha Joe is certainly the better of the two, yeah, I think.
And lastly, we have blue-green, big mana plot. I feel like we have a lawsuit on our hands with this first card. Make Your Own Luck should be... parentheses episode 23. 3 green-blue for a sorcery. Look at the top 3 cards of your library. You may exile a non-land card from among them. If you do, it becomes plotted. Put the rest into your hand. But this has, I know that you must have liked this card back in the day. I don't even remember what it was called, but it was like 3 green-blue, draw 3, you can play an additional land.
Yes, or urban something, urban yes. Evolution or something.
Yeah, urban evolution. I think that's right. This has like feelings of that, like, oh, you're doing nothing, but you're doing nothing in the best way.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get away with this, it's powerful. It's draw 3, cast a card. The next, actually, is this card just great?
I think so. I'm hoping so.
It's very powerful if you can not die.
It's also, but like, you're at the whim. Like, if you're sort of at the whim of the top of your deck a little bit. Like, even if the top of your deck is just like land 2-drop, 3-drop, it's not great.
Not great. Yeah.
I think this may not be great.
I kind of like it.
What's the other card?
Next, we've got Doc Orlok, Grizzled Genius, which is blue-green for a 2/3 bear druid. Spells you cast from your graveyard or from exile cost 2 less to cast, and plotting cards from your hand cost 2 less.
Whoa.
Speed you up, baby.
Plotting cards from your hand cost 2 less is wild.
Yeah, play this and then like maybe double spell a plot 2 and a plot 3 on turn 3.
Yeah, double plot on turn 3 and then double spell on turn 4.
Seems okay.
That's, yeah, this card's going to lead to some nutty starts.
Yeah, that card's got lots of potential.
All right, we have a ton of cards to try and get through here. First up, we're going to look at a bunch of removal. First card is Ariat's Lullaby. 1 and a white for a sorcery at common. Destroy target tapped creature, you gain 2 life. What do you think?
I like it in a controlling deck. The question is how much of White's decks are going to be controlling, and based on recent events, not that many, so probably not that good, but situationally very powerful.
Yeah, I wonder, yeah, the gaining 2 life is like, that's huge for control decks.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be very good in control decks.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Lassoed by the Law, which is 3 and a white for an enchantment. When it ETBs, exile target non-land permanent and opponent controls until Lassoed by the Law leaves the battlefield. Whenever Lassoed by the Law enters the battlefield, make a mercenary token.
So this is Banisher Priest as a 1/1 for 4 mana.
Yeah, except like you have to kill the enchantment, which is a little bit harder to do.
No, for sure. Yeah, they think it's good. Then we have Steer Clear, another common from white, single white instant, deal 2 damage to target attacking or blocking creature, deals 4 damage to that creature instead if you controlled a mount as you cast the spell. So that could be just controlling a mount. It doesn't have to be saddled.
Correct. I think you'll probably play this in green white. It's very efficient.
I mean,
if you're getting up to the 4 damage consistently.
I think this would be one to check some like reliability on, like how many mounts does white have, you know, like that sort of thing to check out, like how often you can expect to deal 4. And it might be a reason to start taking some mounts a little higher.
That seems suspect to me. This is like going to be a late pick that you're going to get if you're in that deck, I think.
I mean, 1 mana deal 4 is a lot at common.
I guess so.
Just trying to unlock the potential, Ben.
Next up, we've got a very cool card from a flavor perspective. We've got Shoot the Sheriff. 1 and a black for an instant. Destroy target non-outlaw creature. And we've got some very funny reminder text here as well. We've got the ramp. Warlocks, rogues, assassins, mercenaries, and pirates are outlaws. And then it says, everyone else is fair game.
I had seen so many tweets about this, and I hadn't read to the end of the flavor text. I was like, I don't get why this is so interesting. But yes, everyone else is fair game is funny flavor or reminder text, rather. This card is probably great. Like, again, something worth checking the stats on when we get to the crash course. Usually when we have these kinds of effects, like whatever, destroy like werewolf vampire something in an Innistrad set, or destroying a non-artifact creature in an artifact set, it's usually about 50% that you can expect to hit.
Well, that's going to be good enough, I think.
Yeah. Next, we have Unfortunate Accident. This is a spree card. Single black plus, pay 2 and a black, destroy target creature. Or you can pay 1, create a mercenary creature token. So it could be a 2 mana mercenary, a 4 mana kill spell, or a 5 mana mercenary plus kill spell.
Yeah, at instant speed, that card's quite good, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Next, we've got Scorching Shot. Red for a sorcery. Deal 5 damage to target creature. Card's good if you're heavy red, but you have to be heavy red. It's going to be a little bit awkward because normally you would want to take a card like this and splash it in a control deck or something. Mm. You just aren't going to have that option.
Yeah, this is very much, I can speak to this, very much a constructed card. This is killing,
kill Shieldred?
Well, kill Vane Ripper, more like it, now that Rakdos Vampires is a thing. Next, we have Longhorn Sharpshooter. 2 and a red for a 3/3 with reach at uncommon. And when it becomes plotted, it deals 2 damage to any target, and it has plot for 3 and a red. This card's sweet. This is like one of the only effects like this we've seen, right? That, are there other cards that say when this is plotted, you get something?
Not that I've noticed yet. Plot's also more expensive. I don't actually love this card. It's good.
What part of it don't you love? The 3 mana 3/3 reach, or the free kill spell attached to it if you plot it on 4?
I just think it's good. All right, it's good. Good, not great.
I don't know why you just, yeah, it's just like, what's it called?
War Leader's Call.
Yeah. Next up is Explosive Derailment. Single red instant. Another spree card. So you can pay 2 to have it deal 4 damage to target creature. Or 2 to destroy target artifact. So most likely this is a 2 and a red, deal 4 to target creature with a little bit of flexibility.
Yeah, that's very strong. Good rate.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got Mystical Tether. This is the white common removal spell. 2 and a white for an enchantment. You can cast it as though it had flash if you pay 2 more to cast it, so 5 mana total. And when it ETBs, you exile target artifact or creature an opponent controls until this leaves the battlefield.
I think this is really cool. How this is designed to like overlap with not wanting to cast stuff on your turn, the possibility to blow someone out at instant speed later on in the game if you top deck it. This card's good.
The one issue I have with it is there's a green common that's a bear that can sack to blow up an artifact or enchantment. That's going to be a little tough.
Do you, and it, but is it just truly just a 2-mana 2/2 that sacks to blow something up? Mm-hmm. That seems quite filler-ish.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We'll have to see how often it gets played, but that could be an issue.
All right. Last up here in the removal category, we have Betrayal at the Vault. 4 green-green for an instant. Target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to each of 2 other target creatures.
Strong.
The first time we've ever seen this, right?
It's similar to like Spinning Wheel Kick and other cards.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
The problem is you can get blown out pretty hard because you're targeting your creature, and if your opponent messes with it,
so but like it's an
instant.
This type
of card always, this type of card always looks broken and ends up being, I think, worse than it looks in practice. Usually,
It's just
very swingy, but hard to land.
6 mana is so much.
Yes,
so much. Very excited for this next category. I mean, not only do some of the gold signposts look like this, but more build arounds coming at us here in the uncommon slot. First up, we have Brimstone Roundup. 1 and a red for an enchantment. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, you get a mercenary creature token, and it has plot for 2 and a red. So ideally, you're just like plotting this on 3, and then on turn 4, cast this for 0, cast something else, get your first mercenary, and then you're off to the races.
The one question I have is how long can you keep 2 spells a turn up for? That's quite a pace. For your payoff to only be a mercenary token. This one looks a little underpowered to me.
Yeah, I'm hopeful because there's quite, I mean, we'll get to it in a little bit. There's a blue common that cantrips when you have your second spell cast. So I'm hopeful that you can keep the gas flowing a little bit in this archetype.
We already saw Rakish Crew, which was our outlaw preview card, but that's the card that when an outlaw you control dies, each opponent loses a life and you gain a life. Basically, just going to be a huge reward for playing heavy outlaws and probably going to be excellent in black-white sacrifice.
Yeah, and if you have mercenary tokens, obviously, that's the dream. Next up, we have Deep Muck Desperado. 2 and a blue for a 2/4 Homarid Mercenary. Whenever you commit a crime, each opponent mills 3 cards. This ability triggers only once each turn.
You better believe I'm going to be milling some people out in week 4.
Week 4? You got to bump those rookie numbers. You got to bump those numbers up. You were cooking like day 3 in the last format. I expect no less from you here.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. I don't know how good it is, but this next one I think is totally legit. This is Rise of the Varmints. 3 and a green for a sorcery. Create X 2/1 green varmint creature tokens where X is the number of creature cards in your graveyard. And you can plot it for 2 and a green. This card looks excellent to me.
Is there fuel for this? Like, is there a way to get stuff in the graveyard?
Yeah, there's the 2 and a green common that like lets you look, dumps 3 into the graveyard and lets you get a land back.
It's the farmer. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think this card, I assume it's going to be very supported. And usually blue-red gets this type of thing where you're trying to dump instants and sorceries in your graveyard. I think it's really cool that green-black gets it with dumping creatures in your graveyard. I really like Rise of the Varmints. Spawning. Yeah, I have very high hopes for this card.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm excited about it. Taking a look at some more specific support for archetypes, we have Canyon Crab, 1 and a blue for an 0/5. You can pay 1 and a blue to give it +2/-2 until end of turn. And at the beginning of your end step, if you haven't cast a spell from your hand this turn, draw a card, then discard a card.
This card's going to be excellent at slowing the game down for you to be able to plot.
Yeah.
5 toughness, really big too, I assume, against the 4 Power Matters decks, because they're going to have to fire tricks off into it, let you hold up instant speed interaction, etc. Mm-hmm. Also got Emergent Haunting. This is 1 and a blue for an enchantment. At the beginning of your end step, if you haven't cast a spell from your hand this turn, and Emergent Haunting isn't a creature, it becomes a 3/3 spirit creature with flying in addition to its other types, and it's got 2 and a blue, Surveil 1.
Is Riddle Form good in 2024?
Well, this is different, right? It stays a 3/3 spirit the first time you do it.
Correct.
I mean, it's, so it's functionally very different. I think that is ultimately beneficial. It will be fairly trivially easy to turn this into a 2-mana 3/3 flyer on delay.
Two, plot on 3.
And then all of a sudden on turn 4, your board is banger.
Yeah. But Ben, the question is, are we going to have time to plot?
Yeah. That's turns 2 and turn 3. I mean, you'll be like a little sad when you top deck this late in the game, but it's going to be able to surveil too late game. So it's got some functionality there also. I like Immersion Haunting.
Yeah, I'm in for it.
Takes us on to some power 4 or greater stuff. First up, we've got Scale Storm Summoner. This is 2 and a red for a 3/3 at uncommon. Whenever it attacks, you make a 3/1 red dinosaur creature token if you control a creature with power 4 or greater. Just sticks around.
Excuse me?
Doesn't have to attack. This card is busted in the red-green deck. Like I told you, it's got some good payoffs.
That's wild to me. The other one here is Beast Bond Outcaster. 2 and a green for a 3/3 when it ETBs. If you control a creature with power 4 or greater, draw a card. And it has plot for 1 and a green, which is awesome because, like, sure, in the spots where you just want to play a 3-mana 3/3 on curve, great. But what's great about this is you get to, like, plot it, maybe even on turn 2. Do something else on turn 3. Maybe even on turn 3, you're playing a 3-mana 4/2.
4/2, we've seen some of those. Like, that's going to be really good. That's wow. I kind of think they made the red-green deck tick.
Plot is Dave Humphries. Such a sick mechanic. I'm so Plot's excited.
Really cool. Yeah.
Brings us on to Saddle Up. We've got Mobile Homestead. 2-mana for a 3/3 artifact vehicle. Has haste as long as you control a mount. And whenever it attacks, look at the top card of your library. If it's a land card, you may put it onto the battlefield tapped and it has crew 2.
I don't love it.
No. This is... No. No, thank you.
Next up, we've got Quilled Charger. This is 3 and a red for a 4/3 at common. Whenever it attacks while saddled, it gets +1/+2 and gains menace. So it attacks as a 5/5 menace if it's saddled, and it has saddle 2.
Yeah, I mean,
it's fine.
Seems fine.
It's fine.
I want to talk about plot. So
yes, please.
That's all I want to do. Outlaw Stitcher is 3 and a blue for a 1/4. When it enters the battlefield, you make a 2/2 blue and black zombie rogue creature token, then put 2+/+1 counters on that token for each spell you've cast this turn other than the first, and it has plot for 4 and a blue. Okay, so plot this on 5, double spell on 6. You're just playing this as a 4-mana 1/4 plus a 2/2.
Well, but if you've plotted the turn before, you get a 1/4 plus a 4/4,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
Like if you plot it on 3, like you aren't plotting this most of the time. Most of the time you're plotting before this and setting it up.
Yeah.
This card is, again, just absurd.
But will you have time?
You will have time. This format is fundamentally going to be people who love plot and people who are like, no, gotta end the game. Gotta get that curve lower. I'm plotting all day.
Yeah.
Next, we've got Rictus Robber. This is 3 and a black for an uncommon 4/3 zombie rogue. When it enters the battlefield, if a creature died this turn, make a 2/2 blue and black zombie rogue creature token, and it's got plot for 2 and a black.
Yes.
Yeah, but again, like this is where plot's really powerful. You're plotting on 3, killing something the next turn, and making a 4/3 plus a 2/2. That's so much board presence.
What's very interesting is that you're plotting face up. So for a card like this, your opponent like knows. And so then maybe are they going to be like, I mean, again, like this is good for you if they're like, well, I won't trade then. I won't block your thing that's chump attacking because I don't want.
Or they're not going to attack into you. I guess, right. No, that doesn't work because you can't plot at instant speed.
No.
But this card's very powerful.
Yeah. And then we have Slickshot Lockpicker, 2 and a blue for a 2/3. When it enters the battlefield, target instant or sorcery card in your graveyard, gains flashback until end of turn. The flashback cost is equal to its mana cost and has plot for 2 and a blue. So you might think like, well, it's Snapcaster Mage, but it's 3 mana. Like, what are you going to cast? Like, well, solves that problem for you.
Yeah, with plot. Plus, it's going to just be right at home in the blue-red deck, I'm sure. Like, this is going to be bonkers in the blue-red cast 2 spells a turn. Because it's going to single-handedly put a 2/3 and cast a removal spell or something and then trigger all your 2 spells a turn stuff.
I feel like there's going to be so much, like, the first week on Arena of, like, being surprised by triggers happening. You know, like, you're like, okay, I'm going to cast this thing for plot. And you're like, oh, and I get that, too. That's great.
That'll be me. Tune in live.
Should we make some hot take early predictions about some top commons?
This is top commons question mark.
Top commons. All right. Holy cow. The namesake of the episode. 2 and a white for a 2/2. Flash, flying. When it enters the battlefield, you gain 2 life and scry 1. Is this inspiring Overseer?
No.
But it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's
pretty good.
Pretty good.
This is I think likely to be White's top common, right?
Really?
Do you not?
I don't know.
fits in with the mechanic of not casting stuff on your turn. Gain two, scry one.
I just want to plot things on turn three, though. I don't want to be holding up mana for a holy cow.
That's fair.
But the jury's out for me on holy cow. Design, slam dunk. Love the design of the card. It's very good. I don't know if it's going to be a top common or the top common for white, you know?
Okay. All right.
Discerning Peddler. Next up, one in a red for a 2/2 at common. When it ETBs, you can discard a card. If you do, draw a card.
Yeah, probably not red's best common, but very good.
Like, yeah, just going to smooth your draws.
Yeah, that's awesome. Reckless Lackey. Single red, 1/2 Goblin Pirate. First strike haste for a 1/2. And then you can pay 2 in a red, sack it, draw a card, and make a treasure token. So drop it early, get some beats in. Maybe there's ways to augment your creatures even better. And then when this has run its course, cash it in for a card and a treasure.
Yeah, this card looks quite strong to me.
Yeah,
I'm into Reckless Lackey. Nice. I'm gonna put the pressure on those plot decks. Next up, we've got Patient Naturalist.
This is the top common.
This is the top common. 2 and a green for a 2/3. ETBs, mill 3 cards. Put a land card from among the milled cards into your hand. If you can't, create a treasure token. Strictly better.
Yeah. Well, so the thing about, I forget what it's called, the farmer from...
Eccentric Farmer.
Eccentric Farmer, thank you, from Midnight Hunt, was that worked with Evolving Wilds, right? Because it just grabbed a land from your yard. This has to be a land from among the milled cards. But again, if you miss, you still get something.
Yeah. Patient Natural is looking excellent.
Yeah.
Next, we have Desperate Bloodseeker. This is one in black for a 2/2 with lifelink. It's a vampire. And whenever it enters the battlefield, target player mills 2 cards.
So a way to commit a crime, if you're into that, right? Target player mills 2 cards.
Also, ramp is working. I did. Is this an outlaw? Ramp? Vampire?
Not.
Novi and ramp. Not no, an outlaw.
Not an outlaw. It's working. It's probably not a top common. Two mana, 2/2 lifelink.
It's a nice glue piece, though. Definitely going to be great in my Varmint Explosion deck or whatever that card's called.
That's right.
Rise of the Varmints.
Next up is Vengeful Townsfolk. This feels a little pushed. 2 and a white, 3/3. Whenever one or more other creatures you control die, put a +1/+1 counter on Vengeful Townsfolk. Usually these cards are 3 mana 2/2s, 2 mana 1/1s. We've never seen them just be on rate on the front face and then grow from there.
Yeah, this card is absurd. Like, a little push. Like, let's think about play patterns with this, right? In an aggressive deck, you're going to be putting pressure on your opponent and then you're going to slam this. And they're not going to want to trade. Mm-hmm. So you get to push damage. Great. Eventually they have to trade. It grows. Great. There's a whole sacrifice archetype where this is going to be
totally
off the chain, like in white black.
Yeah.
This card looks broken to me at common.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in.
It's a stat monster. Next up, we've got the Crime Lands. I think these are on pace to be top commons. Pretty high picks. Those are the ETB tap duels.
Are deserts a thing? I haven't seen like desert matters.
It's not
one of the two color pairs.
No, but there's smatterings in green of desert payoffs. I think it is a thing. Yeah.
Okay.
I like the crime lands.
I'm curious if you love this little mana dork. Hardbristle Bandit. 1 in a green, 1/1. Plant Rogue. Taps out a mana of any color. And whenever you commit a crime, you can untap Hardbristle Bandit, but it only triggers once each turn.
Seems very strong to me.
Really?
Yeah, a mana dork that can potentially ramp you twice. Like, it makes all your ETB tap lands essentially untapped lands because it'll shoot them when they ETB. I don't know. This card looks really strong.
Yeah. I'm just always worried you're gonna run out. What happens when you run out of stuff to do with your mana?
It's 2024, baby.
2024. We don't run out of cards. All right, here's the common that I'm curious about. We could have even put this in greater garbage. Lone Shark, 3 and a blue for a 3/4. When it enters the battlefield, if you've cast 2 or more spells this turn, draw a card, and it has plot for 3 and a blue. I'm hopeful about the Lone Shark. I think this could be top blue common.
I'm not hopeful. I'm certain this card is great.
Oh my God. you baited me. I thought we were going to have to argue.
No, I love Lone Shark. Just imagine
plotting
on 4. Like, if you've done your due diligence and you're not dying,
plot on 3.
Plotting on 4.
plot on three.
You can't, well, plotting on three and then plotting on four is a little much. This plots for three and a blue.
No, I'm saying plot on three, cast, and then cast this, right?
Oh, you're saying curve into it with a plot on
plot
three.
Plot on three and then cast that thing sure, on yeah, four yeah. and this cast
so,
this.
Yeah, I was even on the other wavelength. This card's so flexible. This card is nutter butters.
Okay, that's what I think
Loan Shark is... looks bad. I think people are going to be slow to pick up on how good Loan Shark is, and I'm saying that very confidently. It already definitely is the top blue common.
I think
but
it is. I mean, we haven't even seen all of blue's commons. Let's just call it. You know,
I really like the look of Loan Shark.
I agree.
Lastly, we've got Cactarantula here. 4GG for a 6/5, costs one less to cast if you control a desert. Reach, and it becomes the target of a spell or ability an opponent controls. You can draw a card. Don't touch the cactus.
Don't touch the cactus. Does that apply to also drafting it?
No, this card's super solid.
Yes.
If you play this on five as a 6/5 reach that whenever your opponent tries to kill it, you get to replace it. This card is strong. I mean, if they're killing you when they kill this, it's not great for you. But other
do you,
than
do you
that,
hear how high your voice is? That's how you know this card
is actually not that good. I'm defending
so
it.
Strain.
I'm defending it so passionately. It's not. I like Cactarantula. There are a lot of greens commons that
maybe it is good. Like I'm just trying to think of like in the realm of, you know, big dumb things that. Like if it was a 5-mana 6/5 reach, when it dies, you draw a card. Is that like
that's not that good?
That's what that said. That's what it says though.
And it's worse than that. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like it.
We have to talk. I was gonna like just say we have to skip over this because it's a category in our show notes with only one card in it.
Well, you could put a lot more cards here. We just don't have enough time to talk about all the cards. But
this can't be. This seems so tame to me. So the title of the category that Ben put in the show notes is Busted Uncommons. Well, what do we got here, buddy?
We have Outcaster Greenblade. 2 and a green for a 1/2. When ETBs, search your library for basic land card or a desert card. Reveal it, put it into your hand, and then shuffle, and it gets +1/+1 for each desert you control. There's that desert payoff you wanted, baby.
This is fine. This isn't busted.
This is a 2/3 Civic Wayfinder that grows from there. This card is very good.
Yeah, like it's not. It's by no means busted.
A B,
sure. There B for busted. B. All right, that brings us on to my favorite segment: Greater Garbage. Or shout out to someone on Twitter who suggested for this set, we call it the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which I think
ooh,
is great.
I like it.
First up, we have Bovine Intervention. Great name. 1 and a white for an instant. Destroy target artifact or creature. Its controller creates a 2/2 white ox creature token. Where did you land on the Divine Gambit scuttle when it was reprinted for the Mystical Archive slot? So that was white. You like destroyed a thing and then they could put a permanent or a creature, whatever, from their hand into play. And there was a whole, like, I feel like there's a school of people who are like, this card sucks. And there's a school of people who are like, this card's like is fine. You just can't play it until like turn 7.
Yeah, I liked that card, but this card is very different than that, and this card is garbage.
Okay,
this card is unplayable.
Now I obviously understand what you mean, but maybe for our listeners, you could enumerate why.
Sure. So we've seen effects like this in blue that often like turn into a 1/1 or leave a 1/1. Those are not good. This leaves a 2/2. This is not good.
Yeah. I think that's a succinct way to say it. Garbage for me as well.
Next up, we've got Armored Armadillo. White for an 0/4 common with Ward 1, and you pay 3 and a white to give it +X/+0, where X is its toughness until end of turn.
I mean, I always want to like these cards.
This is garbage.
This is terrible. This yeah, is I think good. I think people, the reason to talk about it is people maybe see this and go like, well, but Threat of Activation. Threat of Activation doesn't work when the threat of not activating is nothing.
Zero damage, right? Yeah. Well, it is, like, its home is going to be blue-white, like, stable. Hold the ground while you plot. Like, if you need a cheap blocker there. So I imagine it will get played, but it is not a high pick nor a good card.
Next up, we have Razzle Dazzler. 1 on the blue for a 1/2 at common. Whenever you cast your second spell each turn, put a ++1 counter on Razzle Dazzler. It can't be blocked this turn. I want it. I want the common build around. I know you are not going to like this card.
I want to like it. I just, that's a lot that has to go right.
And until something goes right, you've played a 2-mana 1/2.
Yeah, but the first time you get it, it's a 2-mana 2/3, which is fine. It's got potential. If I have to choose between Great and Garbage,
you're choosing garbage.
Yeah. But I think Garbage with a glimmer of hope. I don't know that I could see this card getting there.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at too. But I have my eyes on it, and I'm hoping I'm gonna try it out early.
Next up, we've got a very interesting one. This is Shifting Grift, blue for a sorcery with Spree at uncommon, +2 exchange control of 2-target creatures, +1 exchange control of 2-target artifacts, +1 exchange control of 2-target enchantments.
All right, so without thinking about the artifact and enchantment part, let's just think about it as 4-mana exchange, like switcheroo. Is that good?
I'm into it, yeah. There's a lot of good rivers.
So there's mercenaries. That's the like main thing that you'd probably want to gift. So that's what blue red. Yeah,
that would be the ideal.
Yeah. Or I guess they don't really do pacifism anymore, right? It's all exile the thing rather than leave it on the battlefield.
Yeah. I mean, blue might have a tap removal spell.
Yeah.
Even then, you don't want to. Yeah.
I'm saying if they've done it to you.
Oh, if they've done it to you. I mean, this is going to be as good as your opponent's cards are. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you're necessarily starting in the main deck, but I could see it slotting into blue-black or something like that, or blue-red potentially.
Yeah. Next, we have Demonic Ruckus, 1 and a red for an aura. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has menace and trample. And when Demonic Ruckus is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, draw a card, and it has plot for a single red. You can plot this card on one.
This card is great. Yeah. Plot this on one, play a 2-drop, and it's a 3/3 menace trample. And then when they finally deal with it, you get your card back from Demonic Ruckus. This card seems excellent to me.
Plot this on one, Razzle Dazzle on two.
Ooh.
Now you're cooking? That doesn't matter. You just play any 2-drop on two.
Any 2-drop, it doesn't do very good.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got Irascible Wolverine. 2 and a red for a 3/2. When ETBs, exile the top card of your library. Until end of turn, you may play that card. Has plot for 2 and a red.
This is red's best common. That's what I'm calling this.
You stole my take. How do we not have this in the top comments? ?
Because
everyone's been like, is this Cerulean's Packmate? Is that Cerulean's Packmate?
This.
Irascible Wolverine is Cerulean's Packmate.
This is Cerulean's Packmate. Yeah. I mean, like, you have to keep your curve low, which is the slightly awkward thing about this, plus maybe some other. The plot cards aren't even that expensive. Like, this card just rules.
Card just rules, but like it also gets better in multiples too. You can chain them together. You've plotted one that flips another one up that you play that reveals a land. You play your land.
God.
Like, this card is excellent. This and Loan Shark have me.
You're gonna keep the hype. Gas, right? Yeah. Like this in and of itself can let you double spell.
I'm glad that you like this card too, because I was super hot on this card when I saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, we have Gold Pan. 2-mana for an artifact equipment. When it enters the battlefield, create a treasure token. Equipped creature gets +1/+1, and equipped cost of 1. So this is Gold Vein pick, but you get the treasure for free the first time. You don't even have to connect.
No, this is not Gold Vein pick. I am out on this card, I think.
Garbage. Oh, I'm in. I think
you're in.
I think Gold Pan's good. Maybe even great.
Maybe even great. What is the home for this?
I don't know. Creatures.
Creatures, baby.
It's short sword.
In 2024, like, look at how juiced the cards are.
You can't keep making this argument. Every time we see a short sword variant, I say a short sword, and you're like, short sword's not good anymore. It's always good to great to fine.
This card is garbage.
Okay, we've got our first disagreement. That's good.
Next up, we've got Rooftop Assassin. This is 3 and a black for a 2/2 flash flying lifelink vampire assassin at common. Whenever it enters the battlefield, destroy target creature and opponent controls that was dealt damage this turn.
How many knobs can they tweak for these kinds of cards?
I think they
might have tweaked enough. That's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes it's like, this is a 2/1 with flying. Yeah. I think this might be enough.
In addition, like 2/2 flash flying lifelink might just be enough on its own. But this is also going to be committing a crime when it comes down. Like, so it's going to be like a synergistic way to do a removal spell.
Yeah.
I think Rooftop Assassin is good.
I think it's going to like good filler.
Good filler. Great filler.
Great filler. That's fair.
But this is a cool card. And mm-hmm. I think better than garbage. So if we're choosing between great and garbage, I'm going great. Like, not a high pick. You're not going to be like jamming three rooftop assassins in your deck excitedly. But mm-hmm. I think a rooftop assassin is going to go a long way in a blue-black control deck, for example.
Next, we have Rodeo Pyromancers. It's 3 and a red for a 3/4 human mercenary. Whenever you cast your first spell each turn, add red. I don't think this card is good.
Ooh, I like this one a lot. I'm on great for this one.
Can you talk to me about like the play patterns you're envisioning with this?
I'm envisioning 4 mana 3/4, like comes down, holds the ground respectably, and then after that you get so much mana to double spell. Like, you don't have to tap this. It's not like a mana dork that taps for 2 mana. It just exists and you get 2 mana for free every turn. It's a soul ring, baby.
May I remind you that a 4 mana 3/4 at common is just, you're just never gonna have room for this in your deck. Like, this is just the definition of filler. I'm so sorry to tell you.
This card looks so cool to me, though.
I just don't... I agree, it like looks powerful, but when I think about how it's going to play out, I just don't think it matters.
You just don't think it matters. You're going to have 7 mana when you untap with it.
And you have to have 2 spells to cast that cost 7? Like,
no! Not, no. When you cast your first spell, you just get the mana.
Right, but to like getting the mana and then using the mana is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like actually making this card useful.
You just need a 7-drop.
No.
Wait, what? Why not? All right, this card's garbage.
Wait, what did you think?
What's I thought happening? It added 2 mana on your main phase or something. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
All right, garbage. Okay, I take back everything I said. I'm less excited about it.
We have to have one of those every format, every time.
Next up, we've got Tumbleweed Rising. This is 1 and a green for a sorcery. Create an XX green elemental creature token where X is the greatest power among creatures you control, and it's got plot for 2 and a green.
I'm very not interested in this card. Should I be?
Ooh, I think you should be. I think this card is great. Similar to your case about the shapeshifter in blue.
Yeah.
I think this is a common version of that in green. Like, imagine plotting this on 3, you play a 4 mana 4/4, and then you play this for free and another 4/4. Like, getting 2 4/4s. I think this card has a lot of potential. I mean, you have to do some work for it. It's the shapeshifter, and I think if you like the shapeshifter, you're supposed to like this card.
Well, I guess I like the shapeshifter a bit more because it's in a color that cares about like plotting and double spelling, and I'm less convinced that green does, but I guess green is like big plot or whatever.
Don't you care about a 3 mana 4/4?
A 0 mana 4/4, as it were.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Keep my eye on it. Great. I mean, the card that we haven't talked about that does seem like it's going to be, it's interesting because it was such a surprise, a sleeper hit in its original heyday, is Drowsing Pteranodon. And we have a functional reprint of that. It's 1 and a green for a 3/3 with Defender. But if you control a creature with power 4 or greater, it can attack as though it didn't have Defender. And it does look like that's going to be supported as well. And so it's going to be easy to turn, like, that's just a 2 mana 3/3. So then, you know, you can at least get a 0 mana 3/3 out of your Tumbleweed. Yeah, okay, I'm in for it. You talked me up on great. Next, we have Raven of Fell Omens. 1 and a black for a 1/2 flying bird. Whenever you commit a crime, each opponent loses a life and you gain a life. This ability triggers only once each turn. I mean, I'm in for this, obviously.
I also am, but
it's not good.
I just wanted a gut check, so it's not great.
I don't think it's great, but like, I think it's going to have a niche home, I'm hoping. The problem with a card like this, the reason I'm feeling like I see this and I'm like, oh, cool, build around a common or whatever. The problem I see with this is, okay, so in my deck, I'm going to have things that commit crimes. And then I'm going to want some number of just actually good cards, which Raven of Fell Omens is not. So like, how much room do I have for the things that care about committing crimes that are not good cards?
But if you can commit enough crimes, it's really hard to race this card. Like, I'm thinking about like maybe a deck full of these and the ETB tapped lands plus removal plus whatever. Like, if you can get a couple Ravens out, that don't die. I don't know. This almost feels like a collect them all type card that maybe could get there if you can collect them all.
Maybe if you collect them all, then they're just good cards in your deck and you don't need to worry about the what are the just good cards in my deck part of it.
I think a deck full of these plus the tap lands plus interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you can get to five or six of them. No,
okay,
like,
but that's a common. So, well, I guess commons are more.
Commons are more common?
More common, less common. I don't know. Tough to say. All right.
It's probably garbage. All that being said.
You're kind of talking me up on it. I kind of want to say great now, but I'll stick with garbage.
Next up, we have Bucolic Ranch. This is a land, a desert, an uncommon. Taps for colorless. Also taps for one mana of any color to be spent only on a mount. And has the ability three tap, look at the top card of your library. If it's a mount card, you can reveal it and put it into your hand. If you don't put it into your hand, you can put it on the bottom of your library.
I guess what is green-white the mount deck?
Yeah.
So this will be good in green-white?
Good in green-white, and like maybe playable elsewhere. Like a three-mana tap surveil land late in the game? Probably not. That's super jazzed about it, but no. If you could slot it in there, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. There's another uncommon desert that we don't have on this list, but we should talk about it. It's Arid Archway. It enters the battlefield tapped. When it enters the battlefield, return a land you control to its owner's hand. If another desert was returned this way, you surveil one, and it taps for double colorless. So it's a throwback for the boomers out there. And we got some notes about us not being true boomers when we were saying OTJ. Does it stand for Thunder Junction? On the Job? People are like, the original OTJ is Odyssey Torment Judgment. I was like,
listen, I was playing during Odyssey Torment Judgment.
Okay, well, then you have no excuse. But a crew land is this type of land that, like, you know, it taps for two things, but enters the battlefield, returns it. So it's card advantage. It's not mana advantage, right? It doesn't ramp you, but it is card advantage because one of your lands taps for two. The question is double colorless something you want?
I still think it's worth it. That's got to be great.
You think so?
I think so. I'm in for Arid Archway. I hadn't quite put together that this was a Karoo land yet. I just read it and was like, whatever.
Seems powerful.
I think I'm willing to put up with double colorless for a Karoo land.
Okay.
I think it's got some deck building considerations, but
sure.
If you meet those deck building considerations, will be a very good card for you.
Yeah. All right. Sweet. Lastly, we have Thunder Lasso. 2 and a white for an equipment at uncommon. When it enters the battlefield, you attach it to target creature you control. Equipped creature gets +/+1, and whenever equipped creature attacks, tap target creature defending player controls, and it has an equip cost of 2.
I swore they were not going to get me with equipment anymore. And then I saw this card, and I was like, it's great!
We need that. We need the every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in, and with a lasso, nonetheless.
Tell me this card is great so that I'm not crazy. Is this card great?
It's not garbage, I don't think.
It seems powerful.
It's always like, so weird when they put equipment. I know they just like do it, but like when they're trying to like make equipment a thing in a format where like they're also trying to make vehicles a thing.
But this is not that. This is just like a red-white beatdown card. If you're plotting and your opponent plays Thunder Lasso on their 2-drop, you're like, oh, God, because like you can never deal with you're just down a blocker the rest of the game because they can equip it for 2. The equip cost is so cheap on this.
Two is
cheap for this effect. +1/+1, and you, taps
a blocker. I do have to talk you off the ledge a little bit. You're too excited about this card.
Like, I am.
Like it's fine. Like the way you're talking about it, you're like, and only 2 for a massive +1/+1.
I know my voice is getting higher again.
This card's
give it a grade for me. I'm at least B minus right now.
It's not definitely not a pull into white. I don't
definitely
think.
Not a pull into white.
No,
they got me again.
Yeah, I gotta go garbage on Thunder Lasso. I think
I'm going great for right now. I like Thunder Lasso. I'm sure I will be disappointed, as is the norm with me and equipment cards that I'm high on, but I do like Thunder Lasso.
It is going to be like, it's pretty massive. Like if you think you're racing, like, I think the scenario you're talking about of like they 2-drop and then play this on 3 isn't the one, but it's like when they've built out a board and you think like, oh, I've got these blocks lined up, and all of a sudden you don't, and it doesn't matter the creature you deal with. Like usually this is an effect a creature has.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't get rid of the thing without getting rid of Thunder Lasso.
Right. You have to have instant speed interaction to sort of, like, tussle with it for a turn.
For a turn? And then yeah. It's still a problem the next turn? Do you hear how high my voice is?
I do hear it. I think it's good for... Let's end on a disagreement. Just okay. end on a split here. Yeehaw, buddy.
For sure. Yeah, I am looking forward to some Outlaws of Thunder Junction. Yeehaw, indeed. Thank you, as always, to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
You can find all of our content on our website, lordsoflimited.com. Links to, we'll have a tier list once the full set is up. We have our merch, always, courtesy of TeePublic. We have links to our Patreon page. We have links to our content, our YouTube, our Twitch, our episode backlog, all of that at lordsoflimited.com.
If you've got any feedback about the show or any questions, or a JLK, what's the play early on in Thunder Junction, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.